Welcome to the Adamantium Podcast, episode number 198. Welcome back, Adamantomaniacs. I am your host, Adam R. Harrison, and thank you so much for tuning in today. We are getting awfully close to that milestone 200th episode. It's actually already been recorded. We've got a great guest. It's an awesome episode. So stay tuned. That is coming soon. But we don't need to get ahead of ourselves because we've got an episode today with an absolute legend. Today's episode features guitarist Michael Wilton of the legendary heavy metal band Queensryche. And I was super fortunate to get some time with Michael ahead of their show here in Toronto at the Phoenix Concert Theater. And Queensryche have been a band for more than 40 years. They are a band that have been through everything you possibly can as a band. You name it, it's probably happened to them over the course of their history. They are still making new music today. They're currently on tour, actually playing some of their earliest work, playing their debut self-titled EP, as well as their first album, The Warning, in its entirety. And that tour continues into June, so check out if they're coming to a venue near you. For those of you, maybe you're in a younger generation, who are hearing of Queensryche for the first time today, we're going to do the Adamantium Recommend segment. And that's when I pick out five songs that you could check out before or after the interview that will give you a little taste for the band. And Queensryche are kind of known for having these two really famous albums. All five of my favorite songs come from those two albums. So from their 1988 album, Operation Mindcrime, I'm going to recommend the song I Don't Believe in Love, as well as my personal favorite song by Queensryche. It's called Eyes of a Stranger. And then from their album Empire, which came out in 1990, I'm going to recommend the song Jet City Woman, followed by a song called Another Rainy Night Without You. And lastly, a ballad called Silent Lucidity, which is arguably Queensryche's most famous song. So check those out if you're new to the band. You can also find a selection of all my recommendations across all the episodes on the Adamantium Recommends playlist, which is on Apple Music. There is also a good chance that you are a Queensryche fan who is listening to the Adamantium podcast for the very first time today. If that is the case, thank you so much for tuning in today. We would love to have you tune in again sometime. We've had tons of metal bands, lots of classic bands on this podcast. So please do hit that subscribe button on whichever podcast network you choose to get your podcasts. You can also follow the Adamantium on social media. We're on Instagram at the Adamantium, on Facebook at the Adamantium Podcast, and on X at Adam R. Harrison. But you can find us just by searching the Adamantium Podcast. And that's it for today. I'm not going to keep you in this intro for too long. We want to get you introduced to guitarist Michael Wilton of the legendary metal band Queensryche right here on episode 198 of the Adamantium Podcast. Thank you again for tuning in today. Have a fantastic week. God bless. And you will hear from us again real soon. Okay, so we're here with Michael Wilton, one of the founding members of Queensryche. Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining me. Welcome.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me.
It's really exciting having you here because, to me, Queensryche is like a legendary status band, you guys have been and done it all, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what, 42 years I've been doing this,
That puts you there, right?
Yeah, so... but yeah, I mean, the Queensryche machine is just constantly chugging down the road. And, in this day and age, you tour a lot, right? So, So you're gone a lot, you're doing a lot of traveling and,
at what point,
but, I'm getting older and stuff and it's getting a little harder to do all this crazy traveling.
But I imagine doing it. 40 years. It's like, at what point does the tour bus feel more like home than home does,
It's strange. Yeah. I feel like I live in the tour bus just as much as I live in my house.
Not only because you mentioned it, have you thought, what would you do if you guys, quote, like, retired?
I don't know.
You think you'd still do stuff in music, like maybe production side or
I have no idea. Yeah, I mean, it just, those kind of thoughts just open up so many windows and so many doors.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, you never know. But it's the constant one day at a time and one tour at a time, one album at a time, but constantly looking in the future for what the next endeavor is going to be, whether it's, you know, a year of heavy touring or, you know, 6 weeks of recording an album or very rarely sometimes time off.
Yeah. What's that? Right. Well, you're currently on the Origins tour, which you're playing in its entirety, the debut EP, along with The Warning.
Right.
So your first two recordings. What made you guys decide to do that now at this point?
It was, you know, a bunch of different factors, actually. The hardcore fans, you know, you see on social media, they've been begging for this for, for years.
Yeah.
And we started this tour off in Houston, the Hell's Heroes Festival. And the promoter there, you know, suggested, hey, why don't you do the EP in The Warning? And so our management and our booking agents, you know, a light bulb went off.
Yeah.
You know, and said, well, what if we do this? So we put a feeler out and, you know, a lot of venues were very interested in this. And so that's kind of where it stemmed. And plus, Queensryche has been touring and, you know, we've been pulling songs from the EP and The Warning, you know, quite a bit because the fans were starved for those songs because they hadn't heard them in so long.
Time,
so, and so we only really had to learn two songs.
Was there a couple that you kind of, you know, had to get a refresh on that maybe
I mean, you know, I wrote those riffs, those songs, those solos back when I was 20 years old.
Right, yeah.
I don't think that way anymore.
Of course.
And, but, you know, it was definitely a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, you have pockets, I guess, in your memories, you know, of when you played those songs. And, you know, I think the last time we played a lot of them live was like 1985 or something.
Okay.
You know, a couple songs that just are omitted just because, you know, the other songs are more popular, you know, so during the touring. But yeah, I mean, it's weird getting in that headspace. You know?
Well, it's funny you mention it because I've met, you know, musicians who are doing an anniversary tour or whatever. And especially sometimes, especially like singers or lyricists, whoever wrote the lyrics, they're sometimes like, they say like, I almost cringe because like, I'm a different person than I was 20 years ago when I wrote this song. So for me to sing this now as a, you know, at this stage of my life, they almost say it feels awkward or strange.
Yeah. And it's, but you know, the benefit is it pulls people out, you know, cause they're curious, they want to reflect on, you know, their days when those albums came out. And it's like to see them in the audience, just, you know, their eyes lighting up going, oh my God, I haven't heard this in so long, you know, and just like,
well, the great thing about Queensryche too is the most of the albums are stories, you know, and they're their concepts. And so that's something it's not necessarily like, hey, here's how I've changed, but this is a story that we wrote. So it's almost more relevant than it would be.
Yeah, and you know, it's bringing, you know, the hardcore Queensryche fans out and lots of younger fans, you know, checking it out. You know, you get your teenagers or young 20s in their battle vests,
I remember
banging their heads and it's like, right on.
I remember a period when I was in high, because I find it's in high school where you really start to get your feet into what music. You're not necessarily listening to your parents' music anymore. You're dipping your feet in what you like and what you want to move forward in your life with. And I remember there was a period where I felt like I had to see all these bands that I didn't get to, you know, before. And so, you know, I had to go see Aerosmith, I had to go see Iron Maiden, you know. And so it's cool that you're now getting this whole new group of this whole new demographic who are now learning metal, may say, for the first time.
Right. And, you know, and and a lot of it is the offspring of
your fans.
I see
his
dad's
parents.
There with
yeah.
his daughters, you
yeah,
know,
which is cool.
In the front row, and you know, they're all smiles. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it's been a blast,
yeah.
you know, playing these old songs.
For you, personally, what, because Queensrÿche sound has also changed significantly over that time. Do you have a favorite period, like you as a guitarist, like to play? You enjoy playing now the most?
Well, you know, I'm just immersed in the origins tour.
Right now,
and,
yeah, for sure.
I mean, and this is really important because this is where it all started,
mm-hmm.
you know, as it, you know, the next four records,
yeah.
you know, the identity of the band kind of solidified
mm-hmm.
in different directions. This was still kind of,
yeah,
you know, the melting pot of ideas and, you know, young adrenaline, 20-year-olds, young 20s
yeah.
putting music together. It was really exciting, you
yeah.
know. So reliving that is really, really fun. And these songs are, you know, as a musician, they're challenging to play too.
Yeah.
So,
well, is there say a specific, like a guitar solo or something that every night, you know, on this tour that you're looking forward, like you look forward to the most, like this is, I really enjoy playing this piece.
Oh, I love, From the Warning, I love doing the double solo on NM156.
Okay.
It's a long solo, you know, and you know, it was written so long ago,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was like, I had the double solo first
mm-hmm.
and then it was put to music and then, different versions came out in demo form. And then, you know, finally we, you know, really took it home.
Mm-hmm.
On the Warning recording sessions and did a real special you know recording of NM156. So and it's just a quirky double solo that's all over the place. It's
yeah.
not just your standard minor thirds, major
yeah.
thirds. It's everything, and it really I think and it's challenging.
Yeah.
So that
just
one
fun
is
for you.
Always
yeah.
just you know. Seeing people going, you know, their eyes widening, going, wow.
yeah. Cool, man. When you guys started going back to that EP and The Warning, at that time, even at that time, you guys were opening for like what became some of the biggest acts ever. You know, you were playing with Metallica, Iron Maiden, Guns N' Roses, anybody, you name it, Kiss, AC/DC. Do you think that help shape you guys for what was to happen next? I think, I mean, you put out two of your biggest albums after that, so.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's all timing.
Yeah.
In the music history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was back when the record companies were just starting to get big and,
right.
and had lots of money. And they could, you know, nurture bands along and you know, it was an exciting time for us. And, you know, the record companies, they put us out on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Our management at the time put us out on the road. And, you know, for a long time, we were a touring, you know, guitar rock band.
Yeah.
And, you know, you learn a lot. That's kind of how we learned, you know, a bit of the business as far as in those days. And, you know, and it was just kind of like 2 year cycles. And,
yeah.
Tour and then do another album.
Yeah.
But back then it was, you know, people were buying albums and they were buying,
yeah.
you know, and then CDs came out, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, you could afford to take some time off,
mm-hmm.
you know, and conjure up the next album.
Yeah.
You know, now it's like you gotta figure out blocks of time when you're not touring
mm-hmm.
to, you know, write an album.
You know, what was it like for you, you know, as a young person at that time, getting your now, you know, getting a start in this industry and you're on tour with someone like Bruce Dickinson or Slash, you know, were you able, like, for you, was that one, like, were you ever starstruck, or for you, was there a learning experience in there of being with these bands, or at the time was it just happening so quickly that?
Yeah, I mean, we were taking, you know, advantage of opportunities, and it was, but it was mind blowing.
Yeah.
You know, what were you doing in your young 20s?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I was on a stage at the Texas Jam with Quiet Riot in front of thousands of people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you just had to learn.
I can imagine, yeah.
You know, and, you know, next we're like on a tour with Twisted Sister. We're doing, then we go to Europe. We're on a tour with Dio. And it's like, it kept elevating. And,
yeah.
But, you know, if you didn't take the opportunity, somebody else would. So
right.
we were very aggressive.
Was it hard to stay like grounded at that, or like, you know,
dude,
it
was all of the above.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit
like a
being
a
kid in Disneyland.
Yeah, right.
You know, but you had to be responsible. We didn't want to be rock stars. We wanted to be musicians.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
You know, so we wanted to, you know,
interesting
just,
way to put it, because there's a big difference.
Yeah, perfect our craft as
right.
as musicians and you know, have a good whack at it. And it's lasted 42 years.
Yeah. We were saying after that came two of your biggest albums, which were Operation Mindcrime and Empire.
Mm-hmm.
My absolute favorite Queensryche song is a song called Eyes of the Stranger.
Right.
And I was just curious if you had, you know, any fun facts or stories from the time of creating that song,
it was such a classic,
too.
It was a major, you know, project for us and mm-hmm. a major time in our career. We had just signed with a new management, and you know, things were set in motion,
mm-hmm.
and everything came out. But it wasn't until MTV, you know, started playing the video of Eyes of a Stranger that things took off for us. And you know, that kind of opened the door for a lot of bands, right? You know, so the whole video thing that happened. Every kid was glued to, you know, Headbangers Ball, right? And checking out all the new metal bands. And so, you know, and then from there, it was just a progression, you know, stepping stone of what do we do next? You know, we wanted to do something different
mm-hmm.
than a conceptual album like Operation Mindcrime. We wanted to do something that just was more song oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And we went up into Vancouver, Canada and recorded Empire.
Yeah.
And you know, that took off.
Yeah.
I mean, we collided with public taste, you know, the average person. And
right.
It's like we were at award shows, you know, we won MTV Music Awards, American Music Award. It was like mind blowing. And we were touring, you know, almost 2 years straight.
Wow. Yeah. What a grind, but
yeah, so it's been great, but a lot of it, you know, is just, it's timing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, now it's so tech heavy,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's been, I don't know, I think split apart, you know, it's like nobody knows where to get their news like they did back when you had magazines,
mm-hmm.
guitar magazines and rock magazines and teen magazines and all that stuff. You could see really easily, you know, who was coming to town, who was on tour. And now you got to dig, right?
Yeah.
You gotta search and then there's lots of distractions,
mm-hmm.
you know, attacking you on the internet, you know, and pop-ups and sign up.
Even the tech of a live show has changed immensely.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. I played the drums, and I was telling this story, it was a few years ago, this pop singer asked if I would play drums for her in a live show. And I never, like, I always played with my buddies I wasn't even sure how she found me. But I was used to playing with my buddies in the garage, like, that's how we played, right? And so I get to this thing, and her producer is like, well, here, you're going to play on a click track. And
mm-hmm.
I was like, what's that? I was like, what's that? And then, you know, I felt embarrassed at the time. And then I read Dave Grohl's book, and he said the first time he ever played on a click track was at the Grammys. So I was like, okay, I feel a little better now.
it's that's something, you know, as you elevate and progress in your
yeah.
your abilities and everything, it's something, you know, when you have to engage in different medias that attach to your performances, all of a sudden, gotta have a click track.
Yeah.
Gotta have this, gotta have SMPTE code when you record an album now, if you have film, you know, it's like, it's all these things that get added to the equation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something organic about, you know, the first two albums, because there was none of that.
Yeah. What, in 2015, which is, you know, almost 10 years ago now, you guys did this campaign called Building Empires. And it was something for the fans, you know, after you changed lead singers, you know, there were some changes in the band. What do you think now? Like you said, the Queensrÿche machine is still going, still touring, mm-hmm. still making new music. What do you think it is that, you know, push this band to strive, you know, even having been, you guys have basically been through everything a band can go through.
Yeah. I mean, it's, well, honestly, it's the fans.
Right. Okay.
It's the, you know, as long as there's an audience mm-hmm. that wants to hear your music and wants to come see you live and, you know, it's, we'll still do it.
Mm-hmm.
and, you know, I guess we're old school in that way. I mean, we still write albums.
Mm-hmm.
We call them albums.
Yeah.
You know, because in our minds, it's an album.
Yeah.
You know, and when we think of the cover, we think of the order of the songs. You know, it's all important. It's not just like, oh, let's record a single.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just do this and just do this and live off of our past. You know, it's more about creating new music as well as supporting, mm-hmm. you know, your past music,
mm-hmm.
you know, the big hits, and, things. And it's just, it's a balancing act, you know? So, but it's important to, as a band to creatively keep, stirring the pot, you mm-hmm. know, and that's why, you know, this will be like our fifth album with this rendition of Queensrÿche.
Right.
So it's,
which for any band, five albums is a great discography as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's unbelievable. I read a story that I think it was in around 2010 that you guys were playing on a U.S. Army base in Iraq when
right.
there was a bomb
that
attack
was,
or something.
Oh yeah, that was.
Do you remember from that day? What? Yeah, tell me.
Oh.
Like I only read a snippet. And I was just telling you about that day. What?
The album American Soldier. We went. We flew into Kuwait and then to all the bases, army bases
mm-hmm.
in Iraq.
Yeah.
And we played for the troops.
Yeah.
You know, so we had to wear all the gear. You know, and. Bulletproof vests and all that stuff.
Really? Yeah.
When we traveled. One of the northern bases, where the city was kind of close to the base, you know, it was it was basically a dirty bomb that came over the wall. So the alarms went off. We had to go into a shelter and they told us not to come out for a while
Wow, that must have been a scary experience.
It was.
Yeah.
The hair on my arm was just like, shit, what's happening? Why is this happening? You know, that kind of a thing. And but yeah, and then afterwards it was, you know, it was taken care of and you know, we did the show.
Wow. And were you probably, you know, like even doing that show after, I'm sure your nerves were shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's a crazy, crazy experience.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Queensrÿche still has tons of legs on it. But what I wanted to ask you is, you know, when you eventually decide to ride off into the sunset, how would you like Queensrÿche to be remembered in this bookmark of music history?
I think, you know, that it's really important that we reflect on what we've done
mm-hmm.
And achieved at some point. You know, right now I don't try and look back in the past
mm-hmm.
and do that. I'm constantly moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know how it's going to be. I think we'll be at a point where I think, you know, we'll be in the music books.
I mean,
I
think 40 years already speaks for itself. And, you know, I'm sure you guys will make it to 50, no problem, you know? So
yeah.
I think that speaks for itself, you know, as like you said, it's that legendary status. But, you know, as a message to your fans, what would you want them to remember you most for?
Just being the soundtrack of their lives.
Of their lives. That's pretty cool. I like that.
You know, I'm 62 right now, mm-hmm. so I see myself. Well, if you look at the Rolling Stones,
I was gonna say I just watched a video of Mick Jagger training for this next tour, and man, if you know that guy's 80, so 60 is like the new 30.
Exactly. In my mind, I tell myself that. But we still have a lot to do.
Amazing. I love to hear it. Michael, thank you so much for your time. This is an honor, and I'm really happy for the chance to speak to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Cool. Thank you for tuning in to the Adamantium Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, we'd absolutely love for you to subscribe to us on whichever platform you listen to your podcasts. I'd also love to see you on social media. You can follow on Instagram at The Adamantium, on Facebook at The Adamantium Podcast, and on Twitter at Adam R. Harrison. Thank you again so much for listening.